Okay, we've been going through chapter 12 of Paul's letter to the Romans over the last few weeks, and the essence for me of what Paul is getting at in this section of the letter is that we're called to be different, and we're called to stand out, be beacons for Christ so that we're shining out to those that we encounter. Through our worship of God, we find that it isn't some passive thing, but we're called to be transformed. And Paul says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can work out what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and complete. He goes through what living in this community, which is unified by Jesus, looks like. And that is that everything that we do must be authentic, that love must be real, that even in our hating of evil, that we are to stick fast to what is good. Among other things, we have to celebrate our hope and be patient in suffering. And that's where it leads us to this morning, in this final section, where we're looking at kind of verses 14 to 21, where it says that those who have made enemies of us, we are to bless those who persecute us, and we're not to curse them. And nothing causes you to stand out more in this world than following the Jesus model when interacting with people and responding to situations. Everything that we do as Christians seems to be countercultural, and it's been that way for 2,000 years. And none of what I say this morning should be seen as an apologetic for evil. I'm not making excuses for it. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be angry with injustice. However, our response to this is to be different to the normal pattern of behavior of human beings. Earlier, I spoke with the young people about emotions, and I think that that's why Paul highlights that our transformation comes from the renewal of our mind, not the renewal of our emotions, which I think is in the overflow of the renewal of our minds. And I'm not wanting to get into a discussion about logical decision making or gut decision making, where the head's always better than the gut. But how many times have we found ourselves responding immediately to something that we see as an injustice, and we've clearly allowed our emotions to boil over, only for a while later, when we've had time to sit down and to really think about it, we realize that we probably could have and should have acted in a different way. And I've been as guilty as anyone when it comes to this. My grandmother's favorite thing was, "You're no William Wallace, Neil." See, and when I was younger, I was referred to as a hothead, which I've always found to be quite an ironic term, because maybe if I'd actually used my head a lot more in these situations, rather than relying on my emotions, my tongue maybe would have got me in less bother than it did. See, the renewing of the mind is a real daily struggle, because anyone who knows me will know that when I see or hear of injustice, it hurts. It hurts me deeply. And it's difficult not to want to explode and let my anger and my emotions boil over, and then respond in ways that really don't glorify Jesus at all. You see, I've gotten better at it, to the point where people have actually accused me of being too laid back now. But they've obviously never found the buttons to press. See, none of this is to say that seeking justice is a bad thing. Indeed, we're actually called to seek justice and love mercy. These are good things. However, when we aren't following the Jesus model of righteous anger and being in tune with God, we have a tendency to cry out that we want justice. But sometimes we're not actually seeking justice, we're seeking revenge, because we believe that people should be punished for the crimes that they commit. And we want to physically see that punishment happening. And I've said it before, and I'll say it numerous times, that we become really good at being the judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to other people and other situations, but fail to look at our own stuff in that way. But Paul's reminding us in this passage that we are not the judge. God is. He will judge all people, including us, And it's not our job to judge. It's our job to show God's love. We've probably all heard the phrase, look after number one, because no one else in this world will look after you. You've got to look after yourself. Rubbish. Rubbish. You see, it's that sort of thinking that causes the Jesus model to look even more radical than it probably should. It somehow seems radical to actually care for other people's welfare. That it seems radical that you are able to, the same way that God does, is see value in other people. You see, it can sometimes be easy to love your neighbor, your friends, your family. There's a good chance they look like you. There's a good chance that they speak like you and they have lived out similar shared experiences. There are obviously exceptions to this, but on the whole, I think it stands up. However, in this morning's passage, Paul, while never explicitly saying it, echoes Jesus' words of loving your enemy. Turn the other cheek. That radical response to being persecuted. And as I said earlier, nothing causes us to stand out more in the world than when we follow the Jesus model. Paul refers to our responses to our enemies as piling burning coals on their heads. He's referring to God's judgment. It is a recognition that when we respond in these ways, that we've moved past seeking revenge for the injustices that we see, and that God's true and perfect justice will prevail. Not only have we allowed God his place as judge, you just never know that by our responses to the attacks of those who've positioned themselves as enemies, that through our response, the love of God might be shown to them. Our prayer should be that the Holy Spirit convicts them and that they repent of their actions or words and they seek forgiveness for them. There will be people who will refuse to change and they will continue to act in unkind ways to us, to those we love and to the wider world. And it's right that we seek justice, but we must also be seeking to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. This will allow us to ensure that our emotions are in check and that we do not slip into seeking revenge when we seek justice. So over the next week and the weeks after that, let us remember that our worship isn't a passive thing. It doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning either. It's through our actions and our words from all the way through the week. It isn't a passive thing when it's authentic. We can rely on God through His Holy Spirit during our daily struggles by constantly speaking to God in prayer, seeking His perfect will for every situation that we face, including when we face and encounter tough situations that require us to encounter the enemy. So shall we pray? Let's pray.